This morning's scripture lesson is from the book of John, the Gospel of John. It is chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This was taking place at the Last Supper, according to John. Hear now the word of God. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts are acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Excuse me. Well, as some of you may know, I spend most of my time researching and writing about somewhat obscure aviation history, specifically a man nicknamed Mr. Aviation. Well, if your eyes are glazing over just by my mentioning the subject, you're not alone. Most of my friends look like trapped animals when I start talking about it. So isn't it funny that when it's my turn to preach, I have the subject of friendship, me who hangs around with dead aviators all day. I mean, that's just too funny. But even I can talk about friendship, because even I have special friends, not including Orville Wright and Billy Mitchell and all those guys. You see, every few months, a group of my friends, a group of us, gets together. We've been doing this for years, the same group. One friend takes the initiative, inviting each one of us to come over for a meal. And it sounds great, doesn't it? Just a wonderful time. But you know what my initial reaction is when I receive that invitation? Oh, I don't know. I'm awfully busy. You know, it's a lot of effort investing in friendships. And besides, I'm kind of weird hanging around with dead aviators all day. What if no one likes me anymore? Oh, I don't know. But then I realized that this relationship with friends is just too important. So I put aside my doubts and my fears, and I show up. We gather for a meal. There's lots of chocolate, but there's lots of honesty and sharing and joys and concerns and chocolate. And yes, there's even prayer. And of course, there's more chocolate. Well, we always come away strengthened by our bond with each other and renewed in our commitment. I'm wondering, do you have friends like that? Friends that understand you despite your quirks, friends who are honest, friends who pray for you. The Celts would say, a true friend is a mirror of your soul. A true friend sees you for who you really are, can look into your soul and see the true you, hence the name soul friend. Now, what constitutes that kind of good friendship? Is it love? Is it trust? Is it understanding? Well, how about that first one, love? Our Bible passage from John 15 quotes Jesus very clearly talking about love when he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, Jesus said these words just prior to his resurrection. And of course, The disciples didn't know that this was his last supper. They thought they were just gathering for another meal with friends. So they probably didn't give it a second thought when Jesus said, "No greater love is there than this, that one lays down his life for his friends." And then Jesus says, "You are my friends." Jesus called all his disciples friends, even though one of them would soon betray him and another soon deny him. Yet Jesus called them friends. Well, the words of Jesus are as true to disciples today as when they were originally spoken. Jesus says to all of us, all his disciples, "You are my friends. I do not call you servants any longer. I call you friends." Well, you know, personally, I'm okay with being a servant. Who here watches Downton Abbey? Okay. So you all know what I'm talking about. You know, on Downton Abbey, the servants are on the lower floor, and then when someone upstairs rings the little bell, they come running up and say, "How can I serve you?" I can be a Christian like that. I can. I can just, you know, ring that little bell, Jesus, and I'll show up. You want to know why? It's detached. It's easier to jump up and do something than it is to commit to a relationship, isn't it? It's easier to jump than it is to love. But Jesus says, "I do not call you servants any longer. I call you friends." In our Celtic Christianity groups, we've talked about our own balance, our own faith balance of the transcendence and immanence of God, with the transcendence being the out there, the mighty, the majesty, the mystery, the big God of the universe, the God who says, "I am who I am." And we go, "Huh? Okay." And the immanence is God incarnate in Jesus, who's kind of like us, you know, feels the same things we do. And Jesus, who can be right here with me right now, a relatable Jesus. And one woman said during the class that during really, really hard times, she prayed, "Jesus, I need you to take my hand. I cannot do this alone." And she would imagine Jesus reaching out his hand to her, and she would physically lift her hand, trusting Jesus to grasp it and to stay with her. Now that's powerful prayer. That's also soul friendship. There's a story about a very prominent Christian professor. He was a popular speaker, very popular author, and of course lots of seminarians wanted to take his class. And one day he happened to be picking on schmaltzy hymns, kind of the stupid hymns of the church, the ones that people like to sing but are scripturally and theologically bereft. And one of the hymns he was picking on was "In the Garden." He said, "You know, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Oh, come on, that is so ticky-tacky." And he just laughed. He said, "Can you imagine the Lord of the universe really wants to walk in with you in your weedy little garden patch? Oh, whatever you do, don't sing this in your churches, and don't teach this to your children. It's just a stupid hymn." And the seminary students all laughed and thought it was funny. Yeah, it's a stupid hymn. But after class, a woman came up to the professor, and she said, I disagree with you." And the professor just brushed her off. He said, "What good could a corny old hymn like In the Garden possibly do?" And this woman went on to say, "When I was a little girl, my father abused me, and I was too afraid to tell anyone this. So after he'd hurt me, I'd go outside and I'd walk around and sing that song over and over and over again and come to believe that even though there was horrible pain in there in my house, out here, yes, in my weedy little garden patch, Jesus was with me and it was going to be okay. And she told that professor, very prominent professor, that hymn may be schmaltzy, but it saved my life. Well, this may be a schmaltzy question for you, but does Jesus walk with you? Talk with you? Do you believe Jesus when he tells you that you are his own? Because you are. When you list your friends, your good friends, your trusted friends, the ones who know you for who you are, is Jesus on your list? Because you're on his. So do you live believing that Jesus is your soul friend? Or is that too frightening? When Jesus offers his hand to you in friendship, is this how you respond? How would you feel if you reached out and a friend did this to you? Well, perhaps someone has already done that to you, and perhaps that person is no longer your friend. And perhaps years later, it still hurts. Friendship requires a relationship, and relationship requires commitment, and commitment requires love. Oh yes, it would be so much easier to avoid all that with each other and with Jesus Christ and say, oh, just ring the little bell, Jesus, and I'll show up. Whatever. Going back to our Celtic Christianity small groups, we learned that circles are very powerful images, and one of the more important images for ancient Celts is that of concentric circles. In their spiritual lives, the center circle represented their relationship with Jesus Christ, and everything emanated out from that, whether it's mission, education, worship, fellowship, everything emanated from that. In their earthly practical lives, the center circle represented a relationship with a soul friend, whether that soul friend is an old friend, a new friend, a spouse, but a soul friend, and every other relationship emanated out from that concentric circle, whether it's village or community, even nation. All emanated from that one circle. Now, a soul friend isn't based on personality or background or social standing, but on Christian commitment, fulfilling Christ's commandment to love one another. And there may be times when you don't really like your soul friend, and I would imagine, Greg, you covered this in your marriage seminar. Sometimes you really don't like your spouse, or you really don't like your good friend who confronts you about a truth you need to face, right? Well, there may be moments of dislike, but a soul friendship is always based on love, based on love. So do you have friends like that? Friends who are vitally interested in what's best for you and vice versa? Do you have friendships centered around Christ's commandment to love? From what I've seen of Wildwood Presbyterian Church, I suspect many of you do. And if not, why not? I don't know. I'm awfully busy. It's a lot of effort, you know, bothering, investing in friendships. Besides, I'm kind of weird. Maybe no one likes me anymore. Well, if that's the case, what can you do to change? Not the weird part. I've tried it for years. That doesn't work. That doesn't change. Some things are just left well enough alone. But, you know, some things can change. Our attitudes, our willingness to be vulnerable,
If something is holding us back from that kind of love, we need to change, because Christ isn't going to change his words to us when he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you," and that is to love one another. We are commanded to love. And that commandment starts with our relationship with Jesus Christ. It expands to include that person or persons with whom we share an intimate Christian bond, and continues to flow out from there until, as our scripture passage says, we bear fruit, fruit of love in ways we can possibly never see or even imagine. Well, friends, I've got some good news. We have a friend who's taken the initiative, a friend who's invited us for a meal. Put away your doubts and your fears, and are you willing to show up? Now, I've looked at this meal. There's no chocolate. But you know, I think I see something better. I think I see the hand of Jesus reaching out in friendship. The same hand that was nailed to the cross for the salvation of our souls. The same hand that prepared this meal, that broke the bread and shares it with his disciples. That same hand is reaching out to you in friendship. How will you respond? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.